Today is Mother's Day, and I was just thinking about Mary, Jesus' mom, and I naturally went to technical thoughts. So you're going to get some technical stuff today, I'm afraid. Oh yeah, I'm sure you all want some mushy stuff, but this is entitled, Mary is Redeemed. Mary is redeemed. Yes. The text is Luke 1:47. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks, Lord, for this day. Thanks for moms. You made Adam and you made Eve from Adam's rib. And those two, from those two. And you say in your word that from her came all of the people that were born from Eve. So we thank you for her. We thank you for Mary. From her came Jesus. And we'll study that today, Lord. We ask you to teach us about it. And maybe some technical questions that some have raised. And we'll praise you, Lord, for the miracle of the birth of Jesus. And really the miracle of the birth of everyone. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, Mary is redeemed, or you might entitle this, Mary is not co-redemptrix. Now, you might say, what's a co-redemptrix? Well, what's a redemptrix? Well, it's a redeemer who's female, okay? We add ix on the end of nouns and something like that, and it makes it a female, okay? So, co-redemptrix means something like that, but it's well known that Catholics hold to Mary's perpetual virginity dogmatically. When I say dogmatically, that means it's an official dogma of the church. If you don't agree, you're a heretic. Okay? I mean, you know, Catholics might say some things, but if it's not dogma, okay, you know, there may be some question about whether that's true to them or not, okay? Some may say one thing, some may say another, but it's dogma. You've got to believe it or you're a heretic, okay? It's part of their dogma. Less well known is that Martin Luther, and some other Protestants also believe that Mary is still a virgin. Did you know that? Luther believed that. Yes. Yeah. That's less well known. This status for Mary may have its problems and be symptomatic of other issues. But there are women who are virgins, right? So it doesn't really affect basic doctrine negatively as far as I can see. Okay. It's not true. Okay. But, what effect does that have? It's just more of a symptom. Okay. But how do they get around the brothers and sisters of Jesus who are in the Bible? You are wondering that, right? And, they claim that these were children of Joseph's from a previous marriage. What about the fact that Joseph kept her a virgin until she had given birth? Well, they argue that technically this doesn't prove that they had relations after she gave birth. It just means they had no relations up until she gave birth. Okay, so. But why should she be a virgin? Right? Why should she be? I mean, they got married, right? I mean, the whole idea is have kids, really, basically. I mean, not everyone has kids. That's fine. But generally speaking, that's the purpose of marriage, and then you have children. But why should she be a virgin? Perhaps this was motivated by the Catholic view that Mary never sinned and did not inherit the original sin of Adam. According to Catholic Church dogma, so if you don't agree with this, you're a heretic, okay? The Most Blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, and by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. Unquote. Naturally, this is an invention of man, not from the Bible. At least they give God the glory for accomplishing it, theoretically. I mean, if you read that, you heard what they said there, okay? She wasn't naturally sinless. God gave her grace to be sinless at birth, you know, at conception, throughout her life. It was the grace of God. So they give God the glory for that, but that's in theory, okay? In theory, they give God in their writings. On the other hand, over the centuries, there have been those within the Catholic Church who have campaigned for additional titles for Mary. These additional titles would place a strain on basic teachings. Those titles, or these titles, are co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. What is the meaning of these false titles? The title co-redemptrix, if it were true of Mary, would mean that she played a part in the redemption of men, with Jesus playing the main role of redeemer, and she was a co-redeemer, or a co-redemptrix. On the surface, it seems that it would put her on level with Jesus, but the intent has been to indicate that she went along with God's plan and therefore assisted in our redemption, because she went along, okay? God said, this is what's going to happen, and she said, okay. The title mediatrix, if it were true of Mary, would mean she is a mediator between God and man. Once again, this seems to place Mary on level with Jesus. Actually, these people view Mary as a mediator between man and Jesus, who is God. Okay, but specifically a mediator between man and Jesus. As if Jesus needs someone to mediate between himself and man. The title advocate, if it were true of Mary, is similar to what mediatrix means. The difference between a mediator and an advocate is the advocate is on one person's side, like a lawyer, the advocate, okay? Like Judge Advocate General, you know. There you go, JAG. Yeah, that was a fair show. Advocate, like a lawyer. Trying to convince a judge that the client is not guilty. But a mediator is simply trying to bring two people to an agreement. Okay, that's a mediator. They don't really decide anything. They're trying to get the people together. Okay, a mediator. So let's start with these last two titles that are similar, a mediatrix and an advocate. What is wrong with these? Those who argue in favor of these indicate that we are all priests to God and represent God to unbelievers. So we are all a type of mediator. This argument holds no water because it just means maybe all women should be called mediatrix. Right? Okay, we're all mediators. Well, okay, and then Mary's mediatrix, and so are Pam and Sandy and Teresa and Debbie. You're all mediatrixes. Mediatrices. The real reason they want to call her mediatrix is because apparently Jesus is either too busy or not kind enough to listen to us. So we should go to Mary, and she will convince Jesus to give us some grace because she's his mother. If anything, this places Mary as above and better than Jesus. Additionally, the Bible goes on how Jesus replaces the priest of the Old Testament. That's clear in the Bible. We go to him because he sympathizes with us. I'll read Hebrews 4:15 from the bulletin. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at the time of our need. Why do we need Mary? Well, maybe people just feel it's better to go with somebody. You know, women go to the Louvre, together. That's, one's an art museum. There's just one sound difference between those two, an art museum and the Louvre. But maybe people want to go with Mary to Jesus. I don't know what the thing is, but it sort of just, I mean, I'm sorry. The Bible's not silent on this matter, right? It directly contradicts the view that we need to go to Mary. It says, go with confidence to Jesus, because he sympathizes with us. So it's not like they just added something there. They're contradicting the Bible when they think that. But like I said, these are things that some Catholics over the centuries have said, let's do this. Let's call her co-redemptrix. Let's call her advocate. Let's call her mediatrix. Okay, I'm not saying that's the teaching of the church. I'm saying over the centuries, people have campaigned for these three titles for Mary within the Catholic Church. So let's examine this first one, the title co-redemptrix. Okay, what is wrong with Mary being a co-redemptrix? Well, the first problem is that it minimizes the sovereignty of Jesus over his birth and death. Okay? Even if Mary did play a part, she did so because God planned for her to do so. Many people came together to guarantee Jesus' death, but they did so because God determined that it would be so. Ultimately, Jesus voluntarily came to earth and voluntarily died on purpose. He made use of many instrumentalities to accomplish it. He did, okay? But that was all part of Jesus doing his thing. God being God over all of the occurrences of life. It's foolish to give only Mary this extreme title. Although she definitely went along with God's plans, she was not completely without error or sin, and this does not entitle her to such a special title. Even the popes and councils of the Catholic Church refused to give her this title of co-redemptrix. According to Wikipedia, as a cardinal, Pope Benedict the 16th suggested that this Marian title, this title for Mary, caused confusion and did not sufficiently reflect Scripture. Pope Francis has repeatedly suggested the title should not be used. On April 3rd of 2020, Pope Francis said she did not ask herself to be a quasi-redeemer or a co-redeemer. No, the Redeemer is one, and this title does not double. It was rejected by the Vatican in the past because of serious theological difficulties. In August of 1996, a Mariological Congress was held in Częstochowa, Poland, or Częstochowa, maybe, Poland, where a commission was established in response to a request of the Holy See. The See is just the seat of, over the church, the Catholic Church. The Congress sought the opinion of scholars present there regarding the possibility of proposing a fifth Marian dogma on Mary as co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate. The commission unanimously declared that it was not opportune, voting 23-0 against the proposed dogma. So, you know, the Catholic Church officially has stood against calling Mary co-redemptrix, but many within the Catholic Church still use the term, you see. I say many, I don't know how many. Enough that they had to take a vote on it, okay? You see what I'm saying here? But why does this come up? The official Catholic stand on Jesus as the only Redeemer seems clear. And yet there are constant rumblings of a need to honor Mary even more. Perhaps the problem is the Catholic Church has added so much extra baggage to the plain gospel that no one can see it, you know. There's so much on top of it. Perhaps the words of the official stance don't really mean what we think they say. You see, that's the other possibility. And it has been said that actions speak louder than words. So much of doctrine in the Catholic Church and practice emphasizes what you do over what Jesus has done. Okay? And so it's only natural that some Catholics want to honor what Mary did over what Jesus has done. see. Mary certainly deserves our honor. But if you read what the angel Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1:35, you recognize who is God and who is man. Right? Let's look at Luke 1:35. Let's start with 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." The phrases just give me goosebumps right there. And if you read what Mary said in Luke 1:46, so just look down a little bit to Luke 1:46, we'll read the Magnificat. You'll see in this that Mary gives all the glory to God. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given health to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Let me just read the beginning one more time. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." So let's remember women, for especially Mary, for the very difficult life that she had raising the Son of God, you know, and bearing the Son of God in the face of probably ridicule for her pregnancy. And they had to flee because of the proclamation of one government official to kill all the babies, and they had to go to Egypt, and then later she had to see her son crucified. So we honor Mary, okay, but we don't call her co-redemptrix. She was saved by Jesus Christ, and we honor all our moms because of similarly to raise children that aren't the Son of God. I don't know which is worse. It must be worse to raise ones that aren't, I would think. But so we honor all our moms today, too, for what y'all do and have done. So we thank you. But let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we especially honor Jesus and you for what you've done, and by the Holy Spirit, what you have done, Lord. And we thank you that you are good, and that you are doing good things, and you are caring for your children as only a wise, loving father could. And so we thank you for that. And thank you for all the things that you do throughout the universe, throughout the earth, and throughout people, other people, and all the things that you're doing, Lord, for the church. So we thank you for that. Lord, may you instill in us a great reverence for you and a love and for others. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.